Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This past Friday was National POW/MIA Recognition Day. We observe it on the third Friday in September. It honors those who were prisoners of war, POWs, and those who are still missing in action, MIAs. It is most associated with those who were POWs during the Vietnam War. However, there are still MIAs from the Korean War and other wars. We never stop looking for our MIAs. Indeed, during World War II, Army pilot Lieutenant Colonel Addison Baker was one of four men who earned the Medal of Honor during a raid over Romania. The veteran pilot was declared missing after that flight, but about 80 years later, his remains were identified and he was given the burial he deserved. We need to keep the families in prayer. And for my Jewish brothers, Rosh Hashanah began this week. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Skip, how often do you shoot a handgun to maintain proficiency?
Well, that depends on your proficiency. If you have no proficiency at all, you don't have to shoot at all to maintain that proficiency. For me personally, I really need to shoot once a week. And I have a regimen that I do, like a 50-round course that I do. And that maintains, the one-handed shooting, two-handed shooting, rapid fire, shooting without sights, long distance, and then, headshots as well. So, and plus, the drawing and shooting and things like that. So for someone who's already proficient, I would say 50 rounds a week and you will be, cock-locked, ready to rock.
Okay, I won't mention that I do it once a month, so we'll just go on by.
All right. Well, hey, something to shoot for. No pun intended.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the crisis with Iran in the Persian Gulf. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk COVID with Dr. Peter McCullough. He's one of the world's leading experts on COVID-19. And we'll talk about being a sniper in combat with Marine Jamie Moore. Next, Quentin Roberts will discuss last weekend's Surface Academy football games, and Marines Gil and Skip will present Border and Books.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. We'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, a China-based company behind the U.S. taxpayer-funded electric vehicle EV battery plant in my home state of Michigan has published reports showing some employees raising their fist, pledging loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party, while others tour a museum wearing what look like Red Army uniforms. Goshen High Tech is the China-based parent company of Goshen Incorporated, which is developing an EV battery near Big Rapids, and it recently published reports and video footage showing its staffers participating in pro-communist activities at an apparent work retreat. Goshen Incorporated secured a $1 billion taxpayer support for its factory near Big Rapids at an overall cost of $2.4 billion, according to reports. Concerns about the deal have been raised by Michigan residents, Republicans, and environmental groups.
The Chinese government is evil, a clear enemy of our nation. We should have nothing to do with them, much less allowing them and helping them fund factories in our nation. I live in Michigan. I totally oppose this factory.
And last month's congressional hearings on UAPs, more popularly known as UFOs, were unusual even by the standards of our politics in both content and style. Not only did members of the military and intelligence community claim under oath that truly inexplicable events occur on a regular basis, but members of Congress from both parties treated them with respect. The hearings themselves send the signal that it is okay to talk and even speculate about this topic, which may even help us get closer to reality. This does not mean that our government has the remains of alien spacecraft, including some alien bodies, as claimed by retired Air Force Major David Grush. But the rest of the evidence was presented in a suitably serious and persuasive manner. It's clear that there is no conspiracy, and our government is itself puzzled by the data about unidentified anomalous phenomena.
This is great news. our Congress acted logically and is seeking the truth. I'd sure like to know if there are other intelligent life forms out there. Stay tuned.
Well, Colonel, I'm still looking for intelligent life forms in Washington, D.C.
You know, maybe we should start there.
And as President Biden earlier this month touted his apparent deficit-cutting mettle, a nonpartisan fiscal policy research group warned of an unprecedented explosion in the federal budget deficit, which it said is on track to double to $2 trillion this year. In a Labor Day speech in Philadelphia, President Biden touted his economic policies. What Biden failed to mention, however, is that most of the massive deficit drop in 2022 was a one-off, driven by what experts say was a one-time inflation-related explosion in tax revenue and capital gains. And while the president touted his supposed deficit-slashing accolades, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a nonpartisan organization that seeks to educate the public on issues with significant fiscal policy impact, projected that the deficit under the president's watch would double in 2023 to around $2 trillion.
Double in 1 year to $2 trillion. Our nation is in horrible condition financially. Our debt is truly out of control, and no one's doing anything about it. And we, the citizens, and our children are going to pay the price.
And Harvard has been named 2023's worst school for free speech by FIRE, a watchdog organization for speech rights. The school earned a score of 0 out of 100 because 9 Harvard professors have faced discipline or were fired for things they said. Harvard has been rated very, very low for years.
You know, education is supposed to encourage students to think for themselves, not tell them what to think. We vets fought to protect our First Amendment rights, and they're sure being trashed at Harvard.
And our Air Force tested an unarmed intercontinental ballistic missile with nuclear capabilities earlier this month as the Minuteman III launched from Vandenberg Space Force in California. The long-range missile carried 3 test reentry vehicles and traveled roughly 4,200 miles from its launch site to the Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands. The Air Force Global Strike Command said in a news release, the launch was one of at least 300 nuclear tests that occurred previously, according to the agency, which noted that the latest one came as part of a wider program meant to demonstrate that our nuclear deterrent is safe, secure, reliable, and effective to deter 21st century threats and reassure our allies. Calling the Minuteman III test launch an example of routine and periodic activities by the Air Force Global Strike Command, the news release clarified that this test is not the result of current world events.
It's very good that we're doing this, but I'll bet North Korea believes it was focused on them. And this drill certainly shows that we can focus on them.
And the Ukraine has made important progress in its counteroffensive against Russia's invasion, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said during a visit overshadowed by a Russian attack that killed at least 17 people. President Zelensky condemned the attack, which hit a crowded market in an eastern frontline town, which is close to the devastated city of Bakhmut. He said a child was among the dead, and officials said at least 32 people were hurt. Quote, this Russian evil must be defeated as soon as possible, Zelensky said, describing it as a deliberate attack on a peaceful city. Aides posted video footage showing an explosion after what sounded like a missile approaching, and people scurrying for cover or falling to the ground. Russia did not immediately comment on the attack and has denied deliberately targeting civilians in its over 18-month-old invasion, which has shattered towns and cities and killed thousands of civilians. Blinken, the first top U.S. official to visit Kyiv since the counteroffensive began in early June, announced a new package of wartime assistance worth over $1 billion, including support for Ukraine's air defenses.
We do need to stand with Ukraine. But this nation, Ukraine, like most third world nations, is corrupt. And there's lots of indication that our money and equipment has gone places very different than we thought. The pressure needs to be on ending the fighting, pressure on both Ukraine and Russia. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. I encourage you to check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk COVID with Dr. Peter McCullough. At ease, troops. Take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. We're having some very serious issues with Iran in the Persian Gulf. As we've discussed before, Iran is harassing and even seizing foreign ships, particularly oil tankers, in the area. Well, it's getting worse, much worse. The most recent mock attack and harassment of our warship had them being swarmed by dozens of Iranian drones and speedboats as they transited the Strait of Hormuz. This highlights just how vulnerable our ships are while operating in Iran's backyard, even as tensions rise over our seizures of Iranian ships and Iran retaliates by seizing other ships. Shockingly, as reported by the UK Express, the swarming Iranian attack speedboats were allowed to come within inches of two of our warships as Iranian drones flew directly overhead filming the encounter. This event and many other previous encounters, such as the June 2022 encounter in which Iranian attack boat was allowed to come within 50 yards of the USS Choctaw County, this begs the question of just what the rules of engagement are under which our Navy commanders are being forced to operate. This very important question needs to be answered now. Under international maritime law, our warships have the right to take actions necessary to protect themselves from imminent threats. This right includes the right to scale the response to deal with the level of the threat. But for some reasons, the captains of our Navy's WASP-class amphibious assault ship, USS Bataan, and the USS Carter Hall, a docking ship, let hostile forces get within easy attack range of their vessels. Also in the area was the USS Thomas Hudner, an Arleigh Burke-class destroyer that should have been providing defense. If reports are to be believed, our Navy ships didn't exercise their right of self-defense, but instead relied on the restraint of the Iranian government and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps crewing the attack boats, who have something of a reputation for fanaticism and viewing our nation as the great Satan. Not exactly the people I'd trust to behave reasonably. It's very unclear why our senior military leadership is letting this happen. Leaders are supposed to provide the guidance and ability for our deployed military members to protect themselves and not allow potential enemies to put our people under great risk. If the harassment exercise had actually been an attack, our ships could have been seriously damaged or even sunk. While the fast attack boats attacking the much larger vessels are much, much smaller than our ships, they can mount rocket launchers and other weapons capable of doing considerably damage. And a far greater threat comes from having these fast attack boats becoming guided bombs, remotely controlled or otherwise, packed with many hundreds of pounds of high explosives, capable of ripping massive holes in the thin, unarmored sides of our warships, holes large enough to possibly sink those ships. Allowing Iran free rein to regularly come close enough to our ships to guarantee successful attacks sets a terrible precedent and clearly increases the chance that such an attack will occur. On the other hand, making it clear to Iran that our Navy ship captains will be operating under rules of engagement that allow them to defend security zones sufficiently sized to give them a good chance of defending themselves reduces the chances of a successful attack by Iran and thereby reduces Iran's temptation to attempt one. Along with putting more effective ROEs into place, it will be extremely important to let our Navy ship commanders and their crews know that our civilian and military leaders will have their backs and not be Monday morning quarterbacks with the benefit of 2020 hindsight. They need to know that they will be given every possible benefit of the doubt after they make a decision to use lethal force to defend their ships. But even if our Navy captains are given the freedom to defend their ships, doing so is much harder than talking about it, especially when transiting the Strait of Hormuz, which narrows to 21 miles at one point and whose territorial waters are dominated by Iran or Oman. Iran also controls 7 out of the 8 islands located in the Strait of Hormuz, and even the Persian Gulf, being only 210 miles at its widest, is relatively confining. So this is a particularly tough area for any Navy having to deal with a hostile foreign power like Iran. And then when you add the unfortunate fact that our large Navy ships aren't knife fighters, but instead were mainly designed by and the crews trained for long-range combat and or anti-submarine warfare. Ideally, our Navy wants to see the enemy's ships first, then fire missiles at them from many miles away. Engagements at close range with lots of small opponents, including countless cheap suicide drones and very fast attack boats, is not the forte of our big expensive Navy ships. This highlights our Navy's ongoing failure to build the smaller warships we so desperately need to operate effectively in the littoral and green waters, ships that would be ideal for screening our large surface combatants and protecting civilian ships from being seized by Iran. However, a lack of screening vessels doesn't prevent us from having ROEs in place that maximize our ships' chances of successfully defending themselves using the weapon systems they have at their disposal. And these new rules of engagement should be rolled out as soon as possible, as rising tensions with Iran, China, and Russia make attacking our warships even more tempting for Iran. Our ship's captains, and all military commanders leading their teams in a potentially combat area, do want to bring all their people home safely. To do that, they have to be able to engage any potential enemy who actively threatens them. Our nation's senior leaders don't seem to understand this. We need to stand with our sailors in the Persian Gulf and elsewhere and insist on appropriate rules of engagement now. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
President Franklin Roosevelt referred to December 7, 1941, the day of the surprise attack by Japan on Pearl Harbor, as, quote, a date which will live in infamy. Little did we know the nation would face a similar date nearly 60 years later on September 11, 2001. That Al-Qaeda terrorist attack killed nearly 3,000 people that day, which is 500 more than were killed at Pearl Harbor. The 9/11 attack 22 years ago and the following war on terror set in motion some dramatic changes to the Coast Guard. Coast Guard personnel and units were some of the first military responders to the Twin Towers, providing security and communications and evacuating civilians by water. On September 14th, Operation Noble Eagle deployed even more Coast Guard men and women on port security missions, search and rescue, and cleanup. It became the largest homeland defense and security operation since World War II, with thousands of Coast Guard reservists and auxiliary members mobilized. 11 days after 9/11, President Bush set up the Office of Homeland Security, and by March 2003, the Coast Guard was transferred from the Department of Transportation and became the largest agency within Homeland Security. President Bush also signed the Maritime Transportation Security Act to protect the nation's port and waterways from future terrorist attacks. Starting in October 2001, the Coast Guard had supported Operation Enduring Freedom with port security, force protection, and military outload security. Then in early 2003, we saw Middle East deployments of cutters and special forces in Operation Iraqi Freedom. In addition, the creation of the RAID team, or the Redeployment Assistance Inspection Team, was created to assist Army transportation in Iraq and Afghanistan. I personally spent 2009 to 2013 as the RAID team program manager, and I'm very proud that my Coast Guard was there in both theaters of combat supporting our troops. We had teams in Kuwait, Bahrain, Iraq, Afghanistan, traveling to various Army units throughout the combat zone, assisting them in redeploying to the United States. You know, the Coast Guard's a very different agency today compared to when I joined in 1991, but flexibility and readiness has always been part of the Coast Guard's core. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the new COVID threat with Dr. Peter McCullough. Then we'll talk to retired Marine Jamie Moore, who, among other things, was a sniper. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds, take a break, take box another three, then stand at ease.
There is no doubt veterans sacrifice in service to this country. For decades now, troops have been sent around the globe to fight, putting their lives on the line, but with no clear U.S. interest to protect.
To honor that sacrifice, Concerned Veterans for America is working to end our nation's endless wars. As veterans ourselves, we know a better foreign policy can make our troops and our country safer.
Learn more about how you can help by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Dr. Peter McCullough. He's an internist, a cardiologist, and an epidemiologist. He manages common infection disease as well as cardiovascular and complications, and both of viral and infection, and the injuries developing after the COVID-19 vaccine in Dallas. Since the outset of the pandemic, Dr. McCullough has been a leader in the medical response to the COVID-19 disaster, and shock of shocks, he doesn't agree with the way our nation has handled this. Welcome, Dr. McCullough. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sir, I've sort of covered your background. Do you want to correct any of it, or shall we get to talking about COVID?
Yeah, I'm in clinical practice. I'm in my clinic right now, just finishing up, and I'm one of the few media people that you'll see on TV, medical doctors who actually see and examine patients. And now, as we sit here today, 3.5 years into this, going on 4 years, I have more media exposure in the audio, video, TV. I've been on all the major stations, Senate testimonies. I have more media exposure on COVID than anybody in the world, more than Biden or Trump or Fauci or anybody you can think of. So I'm ready for you.
Well, what I can't believe is I sort of believe that when COVID first hit, everybody does the best they can with what they got. But after a period of time, whether it's 6 months or a year or whatever it is, you start seeing what the mistakes are and you admit them and correct them. And that's what I've seen missing. Is that a reasonable statement on my part?
Agree. There's just no correction. There's double and tripling down. Today we heard about more vaccines, EUA approved, COVID-19 boosters against the XBB 1.5 strain, which is fading away quickly. It's less than 3.1% of strains right now as of September 2nd, 2023. This is terrible. Another vaccine that's too late. It's not going to cover the appropriate strain, which is ARIS, EG5. And the vaccines aren't any safer. And we've seen record injuries, disabilities, and deaths. And the FDA, again, with no human data, without any evidence that this is going to work, has just provided EUA approval.
You know, several years ago, before all this, if FDA or somebody said that a certain shot was good or a vaccine for flu or something like that was good, I took them seriously. I don't believe anybody right now except the doctors that I know that are, I've been treated by. The, quote, experts have been wrong so many times and not willing to admit it that I don't believe any of them. If I thought anything was important, I'd go to my local docs and talk to them. And if they believed it, that might be different. I think I'm fairly typical. Do you find that to be true?
People have lost their trust with the agencies, that's for sure. If the doctors told the patients to take the COVID vaccines and patients have suffered, myocarditis, heart attack, stroke, blood clots. They don't go see those doctors anymore. The patients are furious. So I have always treated my patients for COVID-19 at high risk. We got them through the difficult part of the pandemic. I've never advised these vaccines. They always looked unsafe to me. And now I've published the first methods of actually getting people out of this problem with detoxification. So many people are kind of falling into my camp.
And the fact that doctors weren't free to treat patients any way they wanted to. They couldn't try ivermectin or other kind of stuff. That was prohibited. Has that ever happened in history where doctors weren't allowed to do what they thought was best for a patient?
No. I mean, the doctors always have a free hand to do anything they can to help patients. No government agency ever stopped me, but they really tried to stop the rank and file doctors. And they put impediment after impediment on anything that worked. So that included the nasal sprays and washes that worked, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, Paxlovid, molnupiravir. These are all things that were impeded. Budesonide, colchicine, monoclonal antibodies. So it didn't matter if it was old or new, cheap or expensive. Any forms of treatment were suppressed by the government. The only thing the government has promoted from day one has been the vaccine.
And that, to me, sounds insane. And this is Military Talk Radio, so obviously our focus is on things that they did that hurt the military. But frankly, what they did to the military, they did to everybody else too. Except in the military, we could get thrown out or not promoted or chewed out or something for not getting a shot. But that was true in the medical community and a lot of other places too, wasn't it?
It's true. For some reason, what fell down on the world was just a big cloud of fear, and people fell into some type of lockstep. I'm amazed. The doctors took these shots themselves, and there's an oncologist who's keeping track. He's got all the vignettes up in Canada, William Mackus. 180 Canadian doctors have died due to the vaccine. He has them all written up. He's submitted it to Canadian medical authorities, and they're stonewalling him. 180 dead doctors, and they keep pushing it.
This is a national catastrophe, or maybe a world catastrophe, that we're treating something that maybe is as serious as we thought it was. Maybe it isn't, but the net result of treating or not treating, and how we're treating, and how we're not paying attention. I'm not a scientist. I've got a degree in engineering, but I know that there's no such thing as set science, fixed science. If I came up with something in the medical field, you'd congratulate me, and then you start picking it apart if you were a scientist. It's always moving, and it's always recognized, but that's been put away too. This isn't science, is it?
It's not. It's been, science has been held up as some type of veil for what has to be a coordinated operation. There, I published a book called Courage to Face COVID-19, and in it, we define a biopharmaceutical complex. We think there's a working syndicate where at the top is the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, Wellcome Trust, Rockefeller Foundation, Gates. Gates and WF form CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness. The WHO, the UN, Gavi, CEPI, UNITAID, the regulatory agencies, CDC, NIH, and FDA, they're all investing in each other. The officials are all moving between these organizations. The pharmaceutical companies are the big suppliers, but they've got a program now. If they can declare a worldwide and national emergencies, they get governments to purchase massive amounts of product at premium price. And then it just gets forced on the population. We've already been through two of these. One is SARS-CoV-2, which is COVID, as well as monkeypox. People forget about monkeypox. But this biopharmaceutical complex convinced everybody that there should be a worldwide and national monkeypox emergency. So Americans should understand that something is going on.
Clearly, because if it's monkeypox is next, there'll be something after that, right?
Well, that means Fauci, Tedros, Gates, hotels down in Houston, they all say that there's going to be another pandemic. And they say it with great enthusiasm. They're very excited about this. And every single one of them has a massive hand in vaccines. So the answer to the pandemics is the vaccine. Now, a vaccine is not treatment, doesn't help anybody feel better. The current vaccines, they don't stop COVID. So people took the vaccines, they got it anyway. Doesn't stop transmission. Our CDC's director says it doesn't stop transmission. And then it's never reduced hospitalization and death because there's never been a prospective double-blind randomized placebo-controlled trial to ever show that. In fact, there's no valid observational studies. So the vaccines are a complete bust. And if someone's following the government program right now, they're on their eighth shot. What vaccine do you have to take over the course of 2.5 years for 8 shots?
And the answer is, if your mind won't tell you that that's silly, then you need some help. There's more to discuss about COVID, and Dr. McCullough is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, yeah, it's push-up time. They want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, twice this week so far. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Dr. McCullough and I will be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Peter McCullough. Doctor, you were just talking about the fact that we've been playing this game with no positive results, no results by any kind of logic. Clearly, there's a lot of money to be made by the pharmaceutical and other people, and they're riding this horse, and there doesn't seem to be anybody except the occasional person like you who's willing to step up and speak out to say, whoa, but I think an awful lot of people's common sense have said no. Where do you see this going?
At this point in time, we're on a collision course between now a growing group in America that know the vaccines aren't safe, they're not effective, and then the government narrative, which was, you know, as of last week, Christine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, was on saying the vaccines are the best way to stay safe and prevent hospitalization and death. She's making false claims. And the recent Kaiser Family Foundation study showed a third of Americans think the COVID vaccines are causing thousands of deaths. Well, you can't have the White House press secretary saying the vaccine is saving lives and having Americans think that the vaccine is causing death. I mean, these are headed towards a collision. And I think the collision is going to occur when mandates come out. And I think the Biden administration may try to roll out mandates. We've already heard Israel today, they're starting to close down schools. There was already a school closed down in Texas. Masking is coming back, even though the studies show that masking doesn't work. So we're in a collision here. There's some governors that are saying, listen, don't comply with these, you know, the return of all these mandates that don't work. Even former President Trump came out and said that as well. So I think we're heading to a showdown.
Yes, sir. I hope we are. About 2.5 years ago, my wife and I came back from a vacation. And she came down with COVID. Neither one of us had had a shot. I took care of her. She got better. Then about 2 months later, I turned 80 and I got some pressure from friends and family to get there. So I got the one shot, which was, I guess, the artificial stuff, whatever it is. And then 4 months later, I got COVID. So I don't know if that one shot attacked my strong immune system or what, but I'll never get another one. And I wouldn't recommend anybody.
But Denny, did you, when you got your shot, did you have any side effect in the arm or afterwards? Did you know you had a shot or was it like nothing?
Like nothing.
See, that's very important. There's a paper by Schmeling and colleagues from Denmark. There's a third of people that the shot is like nothing. Like there's nothing in it. The same thing happened to my mother-in-law. She took 2 shots. She goes, there's nothing. She has a flu shot. You could feel more of it. The people who felt nothing when they took the shot, I mean zero, they're not going to have any side effects. Even a couple of years later, I'm convinced of it. The people who get are really sick with side effects now, they felt it immediately. Within an hour, they were throwing up, fever, really, really sick. So the theory is some people really got some live ammo and other people got duds.
But isn't it reasonable that even if you and I were twins and we both got a shot, you could respond differently than I?
Not that dramatically.
Okay.
Not that. And there's tremendous variation in the messenger RNA concentration in Moderna's application to the EMA. So we think some of these vials had very little live ammo in it, and some of them were super loaded.
And the fact that the people who have taken the shot have died, and there don't seem to be any studies on, gee, why'd that happen and what can we do to prevent it or anything like that. I haven't read anything or heard anything about it. They're trying to ignore it.
Government's doing no research into vaccine injuries and deaths. So it's all independent research. Now, I'm the senior author on the paper that's analyzed the most autopsies, 325 autopsies of people who die after a shot. 74% of the time, it's due to the shot by independent review.
Wow. That's significant. And the media seems to be part of this conspiracy to lie, don't they? I mean, where do you hear anything close to real truth?
You don't. The media seems to be a part of this as well. There's just, again, there seems to be a conspiratorial attempt to get every person in the world vaccinated every 6 months with no end in sight.
You know, I'm delighted that about a year ago, the military stopped making it a requirement that everybody be vaccinated, and they're now allowing people in who aren't vaccinated. But I fear that's going to turn around at some point. They're going to go back to forcing it on people. And all that's doing is making our military less effective because some people get sick, some people can't handle it, some people are all kinds of symptoms. I'm afraid for our military and I'm afraid for our nation that what you just said, that they may get away with it. But there apparently, and you've suggested this before, is a movement or a bunch of movements starting to say no. Is there any central group that's doing this?
Well, we've defined this biopharmaceutical complex in our book, and I've named him earlier on this interview. It's a consortium. We think at the top is the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, WHO, all the regulatory agencies. They really do want mass vaccination in everybody, no matter what. Doesn't matter if the vaccines are out of date, genetic vaccines, they want a needle in every arm every 6 months. And it's just, vaccines don't work that way. We don't sign up to take genetic shots every 6 months. I mean, there's going to be side effects, and there are.
And that's assuming that they're real vaccines. And most of these don't meet the requirement to be a genuine vaccine. Am I right?
They certainly don't. They actually qualify for gene therapy. And I personally don't want any new genetic material in my body. So I've never taken these shots. And if you've had one like you did, Denny, but you didn't have any side effects, probably you didn't get much of it at all and your body's cleared it out. But I do worry about people who just have gotten a big installation of this stuff. Recent paper by Brogna and colleagues from Italy, half of people who took the shot, they have circulating spike protein from the shot in their blood out to 6 months. That's as long as they've looked. That's terrible. This spike protein that the shots install, that's the lethal part of the virus. Makes you get sick. It gets in your organs, causes heart damage, stroke, blood clots, neurologic damage. I mean, really, it's terrible.
That's weird. And to cover another topic you mentioned, the masks. I know enough about science to know that the bad parts that can make you sick are tiny. And wearing a mask, I equated that to putting a chain link fence around your yard to keep the bees out. Is that a valid statement?
Yeah, the masks don't work. What works is the nasal sprays. Everybody should have a dilute iodine nasal spray or a clear or colloidal silver. They all work fine. Cofix, RX. And then Scopa Listerine, a little iodine in it. The sprays and gargles work fine. The masks don't.
You know, there's too much common sense in what you just said. The sprays and the gargles go into you. Yeah, that's ridiculous. We're close to running out of time. You mentioned that you have a book out. Will you talk about that book and how people can buy a copy? Because that's the first time I've been aware of anything out there that people can get which will lay out some truth.
It's a 5-star bestseller. I wrote it with John Leake, who's a true crime author. He's a really best-selling author already. It's called Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalizations and Deaths While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. It's on Amazon. You can buy directly from the website, a little cheaper, couragetofacecovid.com. If you go on any of my social media feeds, like Twitter, I got the top doctor Twitter account in the world, P_McCullough MD. Click on it. You'll see the trailer. It's going to, looks like it's going to be a motion picture in the future. But it tells the story of what happened early and how there was a coordinated suppression of treatment of COVID all over the world that led to unnecessary death. And everybody needs to understand this. Every country in the world did this to their citizens. And people can't possibly understand why the governments would turn against everybody in the world, but they did.
And it's true. And it, on the other hand, I can understand why it would happen in much of the world, because most of the third world countries are dictatorships. And so therefore, dictators are always looking for more power. Even good-hearted ones are always looking for more power. But we have to do something, and we've got to stand together. Doctor, we've got a minute. Would you like to make a final comment on, sum up the points that you'd like everybody to remember from our talk today?
I called on the floor of the U.S. Senate in 2022, pull the vaccines off the market. They're not safe for human use. Anybody who takes a vaccine at this point in time, you're doing it at your own risk. It's not worth a job. It's not worth school or anything else. People are dying in large numbers due to these vaccines. We've seen cardiac arrests 2 years after taking the shot. Anybody who's taken the shot, they should go on detoxification called base spike detoxification, nattokinase, 2,000 units twice a day, bromelain, 500 milligrams a day, and curcumin, 500 milligrams twice a day. To learn more, go to my website, petermcculloughmd.com, and go on detox. You can do it yourself. You should probably do it yourself, Denny. Get yourself out of this jam. I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Doctor, thank you. Thank you for your courage to stand up for the truth in this very hostile environment. Thank you for your defense of our nation and our citizens. God bless you. I'm proud to call you friend. Carry on, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Marine sniper Jamie Moore. Then Quentin Roberts will review last week's Service Academy football games and discuss this week's likely outcomes. And Marines Gil and Skip will discuss border and books. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.